The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, and if you will, go and look at Psalm 33 and in verse 12, Psalm 33 and in verse 12, as we read just a moment ago, Psalm 33 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." I want to speak to you this morning on "In God we still trust." In God we still trust. You know, the Bible teaches that we ought to put our trust in the Lord, and I'm so glad that a part of our Christian heritage, even on that which is our currency, it says, "In God we trust." Did you ever think that you could be able to take a dollar bill, or you'd be able to take a coin, and you could take that coin, or you could take that dollar bill, and use that as a witnessing tool to be able to show a person that they need to truly put their trust in God? Now, I'm so glad that we have a nation that still, as a whole, wants to put their trust in a God. Now, I believe you ought to put your trust in the God of the Bible. I don't believe we ought to be putting our trust in just another, a small g God, but I think we ought to put our trust in the only God that is of the Bible. And what I want to do is I want to show you some things this morning that would help to strengthen that trust that you put in God. Let me give you a couple of statements. We still trust in the God of the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 12, I read as our text verse, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And so the Bible teaches that the nation will be blessed if you put your trust in the God that is the Lord. The Bible says, "And the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance." Now, God will have a people that he has chosen, and that people that he has chosen for his own inheritance are his own children. And so if you would think about somebody that's being left behind in a will, and inside of that will is the children of an inheritance. Many years ago, I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodists for the first 6 years of my life, 280-acre farm in Millers, Maryland. And as I was raised by some old-fashioned Methodists on that 280-acre lot, there are many things that they did. We saw times where they would pray at the table. We saw different times when they would do different things that reminded us that there is a supreme being, yes, a God, but I was never introduced to the Lord until I was 18 years of age. But I remember all the times growing up on that farm at a very young age when I remember seeing them putting a trust in God. I remember seeing them do different things, and I remember seeing all the things that took place. I grew very close to these people. These people raised me for 6 years of my life, and so when it came time that Mrs. Wagner, Myrtle, I called her Maul, went home to be with the Lord, they had the reading of the will, and I never will forget. And I turned up, they asked me to come because I was in the will, and I thought for sure they were going to give me a 280-acre farm. I really did. I thought for sure they owned several houses out in Hempstead, and I thought for sure they were going to give me one of those houses. I was about 14, 15 years of age at the time, and I had all these great things in my head that they were going to do. And I was so excited. I showed up for the reading of the will, and in the will, it basically said, "We have something to give you that is worth more than gold." Wow. You know, for a 13, 14, 15-year-old kid, and you hear that you got something that's going to be given to you worth more than gold, you begin to think it's going to be extraordinarily. And then it said, "But you're probably not ready for it yet." And I thought, well, you know, maybe it's going to happen when I'm 21 or something like that, or whatever the case may be. But when I received Jesus Christ as Savior, Lottie called me over, which was Myrtle's sister, and said, she'd been praying for you to get saved for a long time. And when you bowed your heart and you received Christ as Savior, she had something that she wanted to give you. And she had set aside money to buy my very first Bible, and with a little note that came with that money that said, "This is worth more than gold." And so I got my very first Bible. And it was given to me by a lady that raised me, and she had since gone on to be with the Lord. And I got my very first Bible. I was praying for a Bible, and that's how God gave me that Bible. Now, can I tell you over the years that I have found it to be true? The Bible is worth more to me than gold. Because in the Bible, it teaches you how to have a relationship with God. It teaches you how to have a relationship with your spouse. It teaches you how to have biblical principles that you can put in your life for godly, wholesome child rearing. It teaches you how to structurally be able to structure your own individual life so that you can go forward to accomplish great things for God. So I'm saying we should still put our trust in God. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, it says, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil tries to trip us up. The devil doesn't want you to serve God. The devil doesn't want you to get close to God. The devil does not want you to put God first in your life. The Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions, it says, are accomplished in the brethren that are in the world. And so the Bible says that there is a way to be able to overcome your adversary. Be able to overcome that one that tries to trip you up. Well, I'm so glad that Mrs. Wells and I, 30 years now, 30 years of marriage. And so I got her the roses. I'll give her a card tonight. And I was walking through the card section just not too long ago, and I was reading some of the cards, and I came across some cards that said, these are funny cards written backwards. And I thought, okay, funny cards written backwards. And so I stopped off. I started reading them. And so these are cards that probably you don't want to give to someone. Here they are. Looking back over the years, we have had a lot of time together. And I can't help but wonder, what would it have been like without you? Well, that's not a positive card. Here's another one. I've always wanted to have someone to hold my hand and to love, and after having met you, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to give that one to my wife. Brother Crutcher, do not give this one to your wife. As the days go by, I think how lucky I am. I have not been ruined by you. I'm not giving these to my wife. We're celebrating our 30th. We would like to make it to our 31st. Here's one for a mother. As you grow older, Mom, I think of all the wonderful things that you've done for me. Thank you so much. I really want you to know that I now need lots of therapy. Here's one. You look great in old age. You almost look lifelike. As we grow older together, you have always said, I'd be willing to die for you. I remember the day you broke up. Just wondering, are you still willing to keep that promise? Don't give these. Okay? We've been friends for a very long time. And you say that you can call upon me at any time and you want me to be that friend close to you. I say it's time to call it quits. That one's sad. Here we go. I'm so miserable without you. It's always like you're here. You'll get that one after a while. Okay, now what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying in a relationship with God, here's what happens. You don't even go there because your relationship with God does create a type of love that you have, not just for Him, but for others. You know, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you today that Mrs. Wells and I would not have the great relationship that we have. I've never drank liquor. I've never put drugs in my body. I've never one time raised my voice hollering at my wife or my children. I've never lost my temper and go ramping through the house, and my children has never seen me lose my temper at my wife or my children. God has been so very, very good to me. God has worked in my life in a wonderful way simply because of the fact that He is my God. And as you take and you allow him to work in your life to be the one that will help you in your relationship, here's what you see, that even though you trusted him way back there, you can still trust him today. The God that did answer prayer way back there is still the same God that will answer prayer today. The God that was still your strength way back then is still the God that will take and help you and give you that strength that you need in the present hour. No matter what you're going through, no matter what problems there is still God that you can trust in. And God can help you every single step of the way. But you've got to decide still to trust in the God of the Bible. Statement number one. Statement number two, we still trust God to take care of us. God to take care of us. Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Bible says this, God is our refuge and our strength. It says a very present help in trouble. So God says this, God says that he is there to be able to help us. He is the one that will help us. When there's problems, he's the one that will be there. James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, it says, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It says, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble, it says, yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So God says this, God says that we're supposed to be that individual that would simply come to him and allow him to be the one to help lift us up. Let him be the one that will help to carry us along. Let him be the one that will help us to be able to move things in our life. Brother Daniel Juarez came to our house just yesterday, and I came home, and he pulled his truck in front of our driveway. And it was pulled in front of the driveway, but there's a little bit of space in between the back of his truck and the back of one of my boys' vehicles. And I'm coming off of making visits, and so I'm pulling in. I'm trying to squeeze in between those two vehicles. And he comes running out of the house. No. I'll move the vehicle, because he knew I was probably going to hit it. And so he came out of the house. And so Josh is moving. Him and Mindy, of course, have an apartment. They're getting ready to get married. So now he's moving everything over, you know, preparing for their marriage and preparing to leave the house. And oh, I'm so sad about that. Oh, it breaks my heart. And you know, my son is getting married and he's going to leave the house. And you know, and so in front of his face, it's like, oh, Josh, I'm going to miss you. And then I turn around and go, yes. No, but then, but he's getting ready to move out and they're going to start their life together. And so he was able to get some furniture. And this furniture that he got is absolutely, Brother Craig, wonderful. It's really nice. He got a very good price. And so Daniel came over. Daniel's one of his friends, and they decided to put this stuff in the back of the truck. Well, Josh has now got an apartment that he's renting. And so they had to carry this humongous sofa up 3 flights of steps. And I told Josh, you know, you and Daniel are probably not going to be able to do that. Why don't you call some of the college guys? So he tried to call over some of the college guys, and they were working, and the other, of course, are on tour, and he wasn't able to get in. So him and Daniel are carrying this mammoth of a sofa. I mean, this thing is mammoth, you know, and they're muscling it all the way up 3 flights of steps. And he said, Dad, he says, my back hurts. You know, now I can understand back hurting. 3 flights of steps, mammoth sofa. You know, if you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, however, you think about how he can help when you try to carry burdens all by yourself. You know, when you carry burdens all by yourself, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes when you carry burdens all by yourself, you really can't get a grip on it. You can't, you ever try and pick up something, and you're trying to pick up something, you can't wrap your arms around it. You just can't seem to get it up. You can't seem to muscle it. You can't seem to be able to get the energy to push it up. And all you want is just a little bit of help. That's all you want. All right? Now, wait a minute. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ will help you with those heavy loads? The Lord Jesus Christ will help you as you try to overtake things and lift things up and grab things and move forward and stuff like that. And sometimes things will hit you broadside. I remember the collapse of the Berlin Wall in 1989. There was a guy by the name of Erich Honecker. Erich Homker was a man that was over all of that eastern Germany area. He was very much a communist dictator. He was very much a person that believed in the party, the communistic party, and stuff like that. Well, all of a sudden, when that Berlin Wall came down, nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. He tried to rent a house. He couldn't rent a house. He tried to put his kids back in education. His wife taught higher education for 26 years. She could not even get a job in teaching in the elementary department. Nobody wanted him. There was a pastor that heard about this by the name of Homer. Homer decided he was going to extend a hand to these people, and he was going to bring them into his house. This communist leader, this dictator, could not understand why in the world somebody would show such kindness. Later on, the testimony is that both he and his wife bowed their hearts and received Christ as Savior because somebody showed Christ to them in a different fashion than they have ever seen Christ before, and in a different fashion that they ever understood before. Those that were part of the Communist Party, they didn't extend the hand. Those that were their comrades according to their endeavors and their faith, they didn't extend the hand. But here was some Christian people that extended a hand of kindness, and they forgave him. And by the way, all of the children that was of the Homer family, six of them wanted to get higher education, but they were denied because of their faith. And yet here is the man that had all six of his children wanting to get higher education, was denied because of their faith, and the man that was in charge of making sure that they were denied was now out on the street, and he extended his hand to be able to bring them in, feed them, house them, take care of them. What is that called? That's called Christianity. That's what that is called. And because of that, they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Andrew Carnegie, many years ago, decided to overtake the U.S. Steel Corporation back in 1901. He was used to making over $100 million a year. He found out that the highest paid employee at that time was making $100,000 a year. The contract was signed. And so he was going to be able to be the one that would bring this U.S. Steel Corporation back into a playing field, be able to salvage it and bring it back to where it ought to be. He signed a contract for $1.3 million per year to be able to bring it back. At the time, as he appeared before all of the board, he took that contract and he said, "The highest paid employee that you have of this company is $100,000. It's not fair that I receive $1.3 million a year. Here's what I'm going to do. I believe that I would just like to take the challenge." And he ripped it up and threw it in the trash can. He said, "I'll do it for free." Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is somebody that just at that time had that servant's heart. Now, you know, in our day, if we're not careful, we become so self-centered that we are the ones that we want it all about us. We are the ones that we want things to be able to take place in our lives when God says that we can trust Him simply to take care of us. Well, the tour groups got on the road and they started to travel, one going one direction, one going the other direction, and they are so excited. They're sending me pics. You know, they're taking pics, and we sang at Wendy's, and we passed out tracks, and they took pictures of that. And we went down here, we passed through Corpus Christi, and we got our picture taken beside the ships and all this and the water, and they took pictures, and they sent that. And you know, and preacher, here's what our hotel looks like, and they're taking pictures, and they're sending that. And they're just excited about going out and representing our college and doing a great job of it, by the way. The ambassador sang for us in our soul-winning meeting on Saturday, and they got up, and right before they left, they sang for us and did a super job singing for our soul-winning meeting on Saturday. Now, you can be excited about serving the Lord, and God can take care of us. God can take care of you. That is the God that God wants us to trust in. Let me give you statement number three, and I'm done. Statement number one, I said this: you can still trust in God. Statement number three, you can still trust in God to take care of you. Statement number four, or statement number three, if you will. Statement number one, statement number two, statement number three, here we go. You can trust in God to save you. No matter what you're going through, you can trust in God to save you, to save you, to save you. Boy, I tell you, Brother Chuck Brush is going through a terrible time with his health, and I'm just really praying for Brother Brush. And then Brother Ross going through a terrible time with his health. And I've been praying for Brother Ross. And Dr. Bob Gray II had surgery and having a hard time. And I've been praying for Dr. Bob, or Brother Bob. And so these different ones, you pray for them and you try to encourage. But to be honest with you, you have to be that one that will trust in the one that not only can save you in salvation, but can save your very life. You know, save you from the calamities and save you from the problems and save you from the stress and save you from all these things that come about you. There was a Chinese preacher that wrote some 15 years ago about a family that visited him in China. When they came from Texas, believe it or not, and they went over to China, they went over to China with one thing in mind, and that is, I'm going to build a great work for God. So they put in the hours and they pushed and they pushed and they pushed, but nobody was responding. And so they got out there and they put more hours in and they pushed and they pushed and pushed and nobody was responding. And finally, this Chinese preacher said, we do it a little bit different. The way we do it is we build a relationship. And when you build a relationship, you'll find out that this person now will come and they'll walk beside you. And then you build another relationship and you find out that this person will come and they'll walk beside you. He said, it's, the passing out the tracks. He said, that's wonderful. And we do that as much as we possibly can in different areas. And we have to be very careful about that because of the law. But he said, we find out that we would build that relationship and help them and grow them and build that relationship and help them and grow them and build that relationship and help them and grow them. And it's all about building that relationship. Did you know that when my brother went home to be with the Lord, I'll tell you for sure, it was probably one of the hardest times in my life. I mean, I wept and I wept, and I'd walk in the bathroom and I think about Dave. Now, Dave's in heaven, and thank God for him. Thank God there was a day when he received Christ as Savior. I thank God for that. But boy, I just couldn't get away from the fact that he was gone, such a young age and gone. And boy, I'd go in the bathroom and I'd just weep. I'd go out soul winning, I'd knock on the door, and I'd start to tell people about Christ, and I think about my brother, and I'd just weep. I'd get behind the steering wheel, and I'd drive down the road, and people would look over, and they'd see me, and I'd wave at them just a little bit, and I'd just weep. The Putmans just lost their nephew, and so, boy, I tell you what, I've watched them. I've watched the Wilsons go through a tragic time in their life, a great loss. But, you know, one thing we do understand this, that once a person is saved, that person is saved forever. Now, stay with me now. And because they're saved forever, there's a type of savings that comes in your life because of the fact you know where they are. You know you will see them again. You know that you will be with them again. I said before, many years ago, I said, my mother, she always wanted me to kiss her on the brow. I couldn't figure out why. I don't know why. I still don't know today. But every time I'd go to bed, I'd kiss her on the brow. Every time I'd go home and visit and during my college days, my mama, she'd sit in a certain chair, and I'd get ready to go to bed, and she wanted me to kiss her on the brow. Now, I don't know what it was about the brow. I have no idea. But just right there on the brow. Well, you know, Mama's in heaven today, and I look forward one day to be able to kiss Mama on the brow. Daddy used to like to arm wrestle. He just loved to arm wrestle. That's just one of his favorite things, and I don't know why, but he liked to arm wrestle. And so many times we'd put those arms up there, and we'd begin to arm wrestle. And I look forward one day to being able to arm wrestle Daddy again. We'll both have perfect bodies, so I doubt it'd probably wind up, you know, even or something. But now, trust in Him. Trust in Him. Help to build that relationship with God and build that relationship with others. Let me give you this and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Bible says, He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Bible talks about there is that togetherness when all of a sudden there was a tragedy that took place over in Joplin, Missouri. And the hospital was filled with those that were a part of the tragedy. It took a place on that day as there was extreme storms that came through and people were killed. Most of the testimonies that people were given over and over again was how they were helping someone, how they were helping someone, how they were helping someone. And I find this out to be true, that most of the time when people are hurting, all they need is somebody to come along and just help them. Just help them. And as we walk beside someone and we just help them, it changes their life forever. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we walk beside someone and we help them, it changes the very way that they think. And by the way, it changes the way you think about them. And so I'm walking beside someone, they get poochy lip disease, and I walk beside them and I say, look, I want to help you just a little bit. You know, that little bit will make them be able to receive the strength to be able to go forward. Just an encouragement, just a help. Drove up to see Brother Ross just yesterday. Brother Perales, Ephraim, went with me, and we're driving up. And as we're driving up to see Brother Ross, Matt was coming out of the hospital with his wife. Of course, he's remarried now. His wife went home to be with the Lord, and he's got his bride there with him, and they've got the little kids. And so I pulled up, and Matt Hudson was there. I've known Matt since he was just a young guy. And I said, yeah, how's he doing? And we started to talk a little bit, and that smile came across Matt's face, said, hey, thank you. I was there when his wife went home to be with the Lord. He said, thank you so much for coming. Now, may I say, that friendship, very seldom does a week go by that I'm not texting pastors and just encouraging them. There's that friendship. Very seldom do I walk down a hallway and not check on people and say, how you doing? You doing okay? There's that friendship. You know, God allows us to be able to give that friendship to people. And as we give that friendship to people, can I tell you that that helps with that relationship building? I'm so proud that we have so many new members, but not just new members, but new believers. A lot of new believers that's in our church. A lot of people that's been saved. And it's all new. I mean, it is very new. So when I get up and I'm kind of monotone and I'm speaking through something, you're listening and you're grabbing it. Or if I'll hit the pulpit, you know, you'll come alive and your eyeballs poke out 3 inches in front of your nose and you about get it. And I watch that. I watch as you go out soul winning and you give out a gospel tract, and for the very first time you lead your first soul to Christ and you come back with, wow, preacher, it works. And I said, yes, it works. I watch our teenagers that get excited about helping out and loving and caring about people. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this, that relationship. But you cannot come to church and not try to build a relationship and just expect that relationship to take off all by itself. You can't do that. I'm saying this. I'm saying that Christ is the one that saves us, and he ought to still be our God no matter what you go through. I'm saying that he ought not just to be our God. We ought to trust him enough to know that he cares for us and we ought to care for others. I'm saying that we ought to spend time building those relationships as we trust in the Lord to help others be able to build that relationship also. And as you do that, boy, it changes people's lives forever. I'll give you one closing illustration. I'm done. I love to walk into places, and I don't know why. When I start talking to people and I start talking to people about the Lord, that smile just hits me. And boy, it is a good thing because I like that. I like to talk about the Lord and smile a little bit because it kind of goes together, doesn't it? Amen. And so I'll walk in, I'll give somebody a gospel track, and I'll say, hey, look, I'm Pastor Wells from Parkside Baptist Church. You ought to come join us sometime. Boy, that's a great place to be. You need to be there. And boy, I'll talk to them a little bit about coming and stuff like that. And you just see that as you are to people, most of the time, people are to you. You know, as you go up to people, and boy, if you're somebody that is just down and somebody that's discouraged, you know, and you go up to somebody and you say, boy, I tell you what, I'd really like for you to come to church sometime. Boy, at our church, we really love God. God's been so good to us. We have the joy of the Lord. You know, it's really hard to convince somebody. But when you go up and boy, you know what God has done. I mean, it's evident what God has done. And you get to see God working more and more and more. You know, when you see God working more and more and more, it's pretty easy to testify. It's pretty easy not to hold it in. It's pretty easy to be excited about what God is doing when you see God doing what God is doing. Now, may I say, and so when you go out and you talk to people about the Lord Jesus, and you go out and you talk to people about church, you can't help but hold it. You can't hold it in. It just doesn't get held in. Man, we were on the elevator the other day, and I don't know if my wife was with me, who it was, and boy, we started passing out tracts and said, well, let me tell you, if you ever need somebody to help you, we're going to be here for you. We're going to be here for you. And by the way, isn't that true? Isn't that what our church does best? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying he is still God. He is still God. Now, you may stray from him, but he is still God. You may back off from him, but he is still God. You may walk away from him, but he is still God. You may decide that one day you're not going to have anything else to do with him, but he is still God. And as he is still God, you can take and take it to the bank that God can work in your life and in the lives of others. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.